Good morning. Thank you for those of us who have joined you since my first presentation. Everyone else already knows. I'm Christine Lang, and I'm with Iowa State University and representing the Sustainable Vegetable Production Lab. I already talked about grafted tomatoes. Another project of interest to us is high tunnel production of colored bell peppers. Bell pepper production in Iowa. We had 116 acres of bell peppers in 2012. I do realize I need to get this current with the 2017 USDA survey data. And bell peppers are of interest for our local growers, especially in terms of farmers market. And we focused on colored bell peppers for this project due to the price premium, which can range from 43 to 69%, and that was using the Chicago markets. One of the questions that arose out of our tomato research, actually, was the issue of sun scald and mitigation of that in high tunnel production. When we're using high tunnels, of course, we have increased product quality, typically. We can moderate our irrigation inputs. We have earliness, which is, of course, lucrative in Iowa for our growers. But we are also finding heat-related challenges of both tomatoes and bell peppers. And our area of interest was using shade cloth to mitigate heat stress. This is a study that is funded by the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship under the Block Grant Program. The work was conducted in 2017 and is ongoing for 2018. And the goals of this project are to identify appropriate cultivars for high tunnels in Iowa, select the best shade cloth for production, and then in turn reduce the occurrence of heat-related challenges. We hypothesized that the use of a 30% shade cloth would be effective in reducing heat-related challenges without and improve the yield. Another portion of the study involved collaborating with local growers in Iowa for them to also test the use of shade cloth, but that won't be reported here today. The materials for our study, we used a black knitted shade cloth and either 30% or 30% and 50% light reduction. The prices that you see reflected here are from FarmTech, but our supplier that we used was actually Nolt's Produce Supply. Some of you may have worked with them. They have locations in both Iowa and Pennsylvania. And when you do figure out these prices for the cost of a grower to put a shade cloth on a 30 by 96 high tunnel, you're looking at approximately $575 for a 30% light reducing shade cloth and about $700 for a 50% light reducing shade cloth. So it is a significant investment, especially if you're a small grower just getting into the use of a high tunnel. Our experimental design, we did preliminary work in 2016, and we only had one set of high tunnels. And once we had the funding to move forward with this project, we convinced our research farm to install a second set. So we had two blocks of high tunnels, and this is one block that you see pictured here. These tunnels are 15 by 35 feet. And we have two sets just like this, and they're fairly close to each other on the research farm, but situated in such a way we considered each one a block. Our treatments were no shade, 30% shade, and 50% shade, and within that we had seven bell pepper cultivars. We tried to represent a wide array of colors, so we used Archimedes and Red Knight for red bell peppers, Flavor Burst, Summer Sweet, and Sirius for yellow. We had Delirio as our orange pepper, and Tequila as our purple pepper, although I will note that later in the season you do start to see some coloration turning into oranges and yellows. It really confused my students at first, and I had to explain to them that, no, this is what this cultivar does. This study was planted on May 11th, 2017, and you can see here with the plots we had three sub-replications of each cultivar, and we had plantings and groupings of six, and we did double rows, and they were staggered. So within the row, there was a foot between plants, and it was 16 inches separating within those double rows, and we had a single drip tape. After about 3 weeks, we installed 6 inches of switchgrass mulch to both suppress weeds and moderate irrigation. All of these high tunnels had the same irrigation regime, so they received 200 gallons of water per week, and that was calculated trying to apply optimum irrigation to the system. I'd like to make a quick note on one of our challenges from last year, which was I got married on June 10th. I returned from my wedding, and this was my wedding present. We are building a lot of high tunnels at our research farm, and we're trying to congregate them in a way that electricity is accessible so that we can have automated sides on the larger tunnels. We had these tunnels go in on an apple orchard that had been in production for about 20 years. And when I got home, you could see as clear as day these strips of magnesium-deficient plants that followed exactly where that apple orchard was. So we used this as a teaching moment for our growers, and we mitigated this by using the Midwest Grower Production Guide recommendation of 25 pounds per acre application of magnesium. That was achieved through 3 fertigations of Epsom salts and 2 foliar sprays. Shade cloth was placed on June 15th last year. That was the point where highs had reached 85 to 90 degrees and were staying there. And we enlisted the help of the farm crew to pull these shade cloths on and used roping to secure them. Anyone who has been to Iowa knows that it's very windy there. One thing we've realized is the use of shade cloth has actually helped save a couple of high tunnels at our research farm and for our growers, because it's another layer that's helping hold that plastic on. Data collection, we collected environmental conditions. We used hobo onset data loggers to measure both air temperature and soil temperature. The soil temperature sensors were buried 6 inches deep in each of the tunnels, and we were also measuring light conditions as well. And this was compared to outside conditions, which I'll outline when we get to the results. We assessed plant health and growth. We were measuring chlorophyll content every month. And at the end of the season, we assessed plant height, biomass, and we did collect leaf area as well and leaf count. We looked, of course, at crop yield and marketability. We had weekly harvests. And one of the things I looked at was the time of fruit coloring. So every week I was assessing which plots the bell peppers had coloring in those plots so that we could see if there was an effect of shade cloth on earliness or delay of coloring. And we also looked at fruit quality, including Brix and titratable acidity, in addition to counting the lobes and looking at uniformity and blockiness for every harvest. I'd like to just walk you through some pictures from the end of the season, and I'm transitioning into results here as well, so I'll be sharing leaf area. This is no shade cloth, and you'll see that we had a mean leaf area of 31.7 centimeters squared, and that's the average leaf area per leaf for plants in that treatment, and this was highly significant. And we had a difference, so no shade cloth was different from 30% and 50%, which were not significantly different from one another using the LSD. This is 30% shade cloth, and you'll see that the mean leaf area is increasing, 31.8 centimeters squared. 50% shade cloth, and by that point, our mean leaf area was 42.1 centimeters squared. You'll also notice that with the double rows, things did become quite tight in our high tunnels. We used staking to create conditions where we weren't breaking plant material as we were moving through to harvest. We had 15 harvests throughout the season from July 5th through October 11th, which is when the season ended. For the final harvest, we harvested all fruit, regardless of if it was ripened in coloring, so that we could assess it at that point whether it would have been considered marketable or non-marketable. For our weekly harvests, we were waiting until the fruit was at least 80% colored and then harvesting at that time. As we were grading, we were assessing, obviously, marketable weight and count, but we were calling out by categories including blossom end rot, sun scald, severely misshapen, fruit that was too small, and then also we had a category for insect and rodent damage. I don't know about any of your research farms, but we struggle with rabbits and mice moving through the high tunnels as they please. So we had to use traps for those issues. Moving into results, as you see with temperature, I would like to call your attention to average temperature, control again being outdoor conditions. You can see that there is a significant increase, of course, and this is no surprise for anyone who's worked in a high tunnel, that without the shade cloth, you do have a significant increase in your temperature compared to outside conditions. And you'll see that the use of the shade cloth did reduce those average daily temperatures. I'd also like to point out that this was very effective in reducing maximum temperatures as well. You'll notice that for soil temperature, there really is there's no difference between any of the treatments, and you'll just see the difference between the control. In terms of light reduction, when you factor in the plastic plus the shade cloth, we saw a light reduction of 11%, and then 50% and 63%. So by the time you get to that 50% shade cloth, you have significantly reduced your light, which may be one of the considerations as we move into the yield data. Looking at the marketable fruit per plant, what we did find is that 30% and 50% significantly reduced our marketable number of fruit and our yield. It did not have an effect on the percent of marketable fruit, which tells us that we are getting more fruit overall in the shade cloth or in the no shade cloth tunnels, and that's becoming a wash, but for our growers, they're going to look pretty seriously at the number of fruit and the yield coming out of that no shade cloth tunnel. As we look at, and it's worth noting that we did not have any shade cloth and cultivar interactions for 2017. Looking at fruit by cultivar, one of the purposes of this study is helping our growers identify what will perform well for colored bell peppers. Flavor Burst, again, is the yellow bell pepper, and Red Knight is the red. I would also like to note that I didn't put in a chart including the timing of coloring and time of harvest, but Tequila, which is the purple pepper, has, for the past 3 years, including our preliminary data, been the first pepper to color and be ready for harvest, followed by Flavor Burst and then Red Knight. So Flavor Burst is the first pepper to come into production as a yellow. Red Knight is the first one as a red, which may be contributing to that increased volume of marketable fruit. Oh, I would also like to note that you see a large number of fruit for Tequila, but please note that the percentage of marketable fruit is quite low. We find with Tequila that we have to cull a lot of fruit because it's just too small. And that becomes more apparent here as well, looking at the fruit size of the bell pepper cultivars. I'd also like to note that with Brix, which I do not have on here, I couldn't remember if I put it, my apologies, we see that Archimedes and Summer Sweet rise to the top for Brix. And we had a discussion earlier, though, that taste panels, unless it's 2 degrees or more, they may not notice that difference. Looking at the incidence of sun scald, we did see that the shade cloth did significantly reduce sun scald if you're considering no shade versus 50%. And quickly wrapping up with conclusions, we do see patterns emerging in cultivar quality, and the high tunnel temperatures definitely are reduced by shade cloth. Benefits on fruit quality are questionable. We saw negative impacts on marketable fruit, so growers are going to proceed with caution. But another discussion that has come up in our tours and our meetings is, you know, the impact on worker productivity and some of those other considerations as you're thinking about managing heat in your high tunnel system. And with that, thank you very much. I want to get you out of here on time. Are there any questions?
Thank you very much.
I would say in the back first, yes.
Very nice job. My question is,
So the question is, we saw a reduction of sun scalds, but overall we did not, we also saw a reduction in marketable fruit from those tunnels. One consideration might be if we were, we are seeing a delay in coloring and time to harvest. So if that study was to extend even further, we ended in the middle of October, which is typically when we get a first killing frost in Iowa. Perhaps if we were to go longer, those tunnels would catch up, would be a consideration. But we're just not seeing as much fruit set, but we're seeing quality in our fruit set, if that makes sense. I'm sorry. Yes. So the question is, how do we even out the reduction of light and prevent microclimates? Is that what you're asking? That's an excellent question and not something that we had fully considered with this study. We do wrap all the way to the sides, but that would be a good step moving forward, is to analyze those microclimates within the tunnel. So thank you for pointing that out.
All right, that's all we've got.